verse 14. Since then, the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And this word, through death he might destroy it, he might render inoperative, might bring to naught him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Just those two verses for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, thy Son spoke of many reasons for his coming into the world. We are thankful for these two reasons that we've read tonight. We pray that they may be of great importance to us, and we shall ever remember them because of their relationship to the other scriptures that tell us about thy Son coming into the world. We thank you for him, our Father. Apart from him, such a meeting as this would be unthinkable, and the minds that we have, they would be unthinkable. But our God, thou hast told us that we can have the mind of Christ. Thou hast given us blessed assurances because of this one. And we desire to know the particulars why these things are so. For that reason, our Father, we pray to thee. Look upon us. Thou knowest our sins. Thou knowest our unworthiness. But this does not disturb us, because thy Son and his precious blood do for us what we can never do for ourselves. And thou hast promised that if we confess our sins, thou shalt be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, knowing that thou shalt do what thou hast promised, we look to thee. Bless lips and heart, and let us see Christ this night. In his name we pray. Amen. I read you last week particular verses that contained the very word overcome. But when you look at different portions of the Bible, there are those like the ones I read you that interpret for us what it means by overcome. And that's most important. That's why I thrill that God has given us Exodus and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy means the second law. We get the law the first time in Exodus, Deuteronomy the second time, and God explains what he said the first time. And so in like manner, when you read about Christ as the overcomer, then God, throughout his word, explains just what he means by overcoming. And the two verses that I read to you, both of them have to do with the devil. And concerning Christ, it mentions three particular areas in which he overcomes, and he himself mentioned two in the gospel, and one of them is mentioned by the seer in the book of Revelation. But in Luke 11, and we shall have to look at that again, the Lord Jesus speaks about the strong man being overcome. And so here is a strong man, whoever he may be, and he is overcome by the stronger man, a stronger man. You have the strong man being overcome by a stronger man. And then, in that upper room discourse, the Lord Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So he himself speaks of Satan as being overcome, and he speaks of the world as being overcome. And then in the book of Revelation, I shall tell it to you, it says that the beast is going to gather together his armies to fight against the Savior, and it says concerning him, he shall overcome them. And so we have our Savior speaking of his victory in the past. And in the past, the victory was over the devil and over the world. And in the future, because his victory is not as yet complete, it is in the sense that time simply must expire before he realizes it, but there is going to be a battle in Revelation 17, and that will be his victory. And then there is going to be yet another battle at the 1,000 years consummation. But the victory is Christ. But those who are his enemies will not acknowledge it, will not bow the knee. And because of that, Christ has to come and show again that his victory over Satan and over the world were not accidents, but they were of God. And these victories are foretastes of ultimate victories. And he has spoken all these times in Luke 11, in John 16, in Revelation 3, in Revelation 5, and in Revelation 17. All of these references tell us of Christ and his victory. And the one that was so important to us is his exhortation in Revelation 3. He says, "To him that overcometh will I give to sit down with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne." And last week I developed that for you. I showed you how the fruits of his victory overflow to us. Like Joseph, his bow extends over the wall. And here is Christ's victory. And his victory inspires us, and it embraces us, and it overflows to us, and it enables us to overcome. But what I would like to do tonight is to give you some details that I did not give you in detail last week about Christ overcoming, because they're so beautiful. And I want you to see this, and for that reason, there are three accounts. The account when Christ was accused by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he was casting out demons. There is one accusation in Luke 11, and then similar accusations in Matthew and Mark. And I want you to look at the one in Luke 11 again. Turn to Luke 11, because this is where the word occurs. Luke 11. And we're going to try to interpret it as we go along. We're talking about Christ, the overcomer. And now, this is his own description of his overcoming in Luke 11. And it says in verse 14, "And he was casting out a demon that was dumb. And it came to pass, when the demon was gone out, the dumb man spake, and the multitude marveled. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, casteth he out demons. And others, trying him, said, show us a sign from heaven," and so forth. "But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub." Now he is explaining to them, "You say that I am casting out demons by Beelzebub." Well, evidently, the demons belong to Beelzebub. And if the demons belong to Beelzebub, and Christ is casting out the demons of Beelzebub, then Beelzebub is fighting against himself, and his kingdom cannot stand. He says, "Do you not see the folly of your accusation?" Now, look down at verse 20. "But if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you." Now, this is the illustration. Remember the background that I've given you and try to figure it out. When the strong man, fully armed, guarded his palace or his own court, his goods are in peace. So here is Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. He is the strong one, Satan, guarding his court, his palace, his goods. He's guarding them. It says, when the strong man, fully armed, guarded his own palace, his goods are in peace. But now Christ is introduced. Verse 22. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. He says, this is what has been happening. He said, it is not Satan casting out Satan. He says, instead, it is Satan being encountered by one that is stronger than he. And he who is stronger is casting out demons. He is destroying this strong one. That is what is taking place, and that is what you do not realize. And he says, what is happening is that I, by the finger of God, am casting out demons, and therefore I am stronger, and these demons belong to Satan, and the strong one is being overcome by the stronger one. I am the stronger one. Satan is the strong one. Now, having read that, just notice two things. It says in verse 21, when the strong man fully armed guarded his own court, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. Now I want you to see it in Matthew's gospel. That's why I have this harmony. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and so for convenience sake, in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 is very similar to Mark chapter 3. But in Matthew chapter 12, let's look at verse 29. And listen to how they are similar, but there is a distinction. In verse 29, he says, or, how can one enter into the house of the strong man and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Now, it says in Luke that a stronger one comes upon him and overcomes him. But in Matthew's gospel, it says that he enters into his house and spoils his good, and he doesn't do that, and he can't do it until he first binds him. And so we have two words that are used concerning Christ's encounter with Satan. And what do you think it all means? Let me ask you this, because it has been beautifully discovered in the past. What do you think it means when it speaks of Satan as the strong man and Christ as the stronger one? It says in Matthew's account that, how can one enter into the house of the strong man? But brother, can tell me what that means. You know what that is? That's the incarnation. The house is Satan's domain. You say, well, how do you know that's the world? Three times in John's gospel, he is called the prince of this world. In 12, 14, and 16, he says, now is the prince of this world judged. In chapter 14, he says, the prince of this world cometh. In chapter 16, he says, the prince of this world is judged. And also he's spoken of in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world. And when he is tempting Christ, he shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them. And I believe he truthfully says this. He says, if you will worship me, I will give you these things, because they have been delivered unto me. He doesn't say that they are inherently his, but he says they have been delivered unto me. And even though the Bible says this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the Lord Jesus himself says three times, the prince of this world, and Paul calls him the God of this world. And so it's not one section of the world that belongs to Satan, but I would tell you this, it's most interesting. In the letters to the churches, It says in the King James, but it would lead you astray, I know where thou dwellest, where Satan's seat is, but it says where Satan's throne is. Now, the earth is the Lord, but when the Lord Jesus comes back and establishes his earthly kingdom, there is one spot in this world where Christ is going to reign, and that is in Jerusalem. And in like manner, the world has been delivered unto Satan, and Christ says, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And so it says that when Christ was born, he entered into the strong man's house. Think of the Savior in my Father's house. But he was with God, equal to God, but it says again and again, he came into the world. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and that's what he says, that I am come down from heaven. He's spoken of as the coming one, and so when the Lord Jesus was born, he entered into Satan's house. That is what is so remarkable. And do you know what Satan tried to do as soon as he came into the world? Why do you think Herod had all those infants put to death? Because Satan is trying to destroy this one that has entered into his domain. But God miraculously protects him. And finally, at the age of 30, now notice the difference. It says he enters into the strong man's house. That's the incarnation. But then it says in Luke 11, it says, when a strong man, the strong man fully armed, guarded his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. And it says beautifully in the temptation that the Spirit of God drove Jesus Christ into the wilderness. And Satan is encountered by Christ. And the Lord Jesus comes upon him. And for the first time in his life, Satan has met his match. And the Lord Jesus did not come with fear and trembling as the underdog, but the Lord Jesus Christ came as the stronger than he, and as he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Christ, in the weakness of dependence upon his Father, in obedience to all that is written, he came upon Satan, and he overcame him through weakness of the flesh and manifestation of all that man would trust in, and strength in depending upon God and trusting in his word. And it says that after all the temptations, Satan leaveth him. Satan had never left any creature on earth before defeated. But when he left the Lord Jesus Christ, he left defeated. And Christ is the one who overcame him. But now, you must understand this, that it speaks about Satan being bound. It's not all ended when Christ encounters him at the beginning of his public ministry. That is just the beginning. He has encounter after encounter throughout his whole life. And this is the one that I take to be the culminating victory. It says, but when he cometh upon him and overcometh him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. The ultimate overcoming of Satan was not until the Lord Jesus was on the cross of Calvary. And I want you to see that. We're going to look at it for a moment in Revelation 5. I'm not through explaining these other things, but I want you to see how the scripture interprets that for us. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, verse 1, and I saw upon the hand, the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the back, close sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a great voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no one in the heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look thereon. And I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion that is of the tribe of Judah hath overcome. This is the same word that I've been telling you about, the word nikao. He has overcome to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a lamb standing as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he taketh it out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and madest them to be a kingdom of our God, kingdom and priests, and they reign upon the earth. Now notice, what is the word? He overcame. Worthy art thou, why? Because thou wast slain, and thou didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of all the earth. And so this is how he overcame. And I read it to you in 1 John and in Hebrews 2. Now listen, it says in 1 John 3, verse 8, it says, He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so here are the works of the devil. And it speaks in Matthew, Mark, and Luke about the armor and the protection that Satan has of his domain, his house, his court, his palace. It speaks of all of these things that he has. But it says the Lord Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And that is what he did. But it says in Luke 11 that when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him. And so here is Satan himself here who is to be overcome. And the Lord Jesus did both. He came, and the Bible speaks of the devices of the devil, the wiles of the devil. All of these the Lord Jesus saw through, and all of his works among men in this darkened world. The Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and he also came to destroy the devil himself. And it says he did it through death. And if you want to know this, the worst possible illustration, though it's the best illustration, of Satan being overcome by Christ is that of David. David overcame the giant by killing the giant. And Christ overcame Satan by being killed by Satan, humanly speaking. He said, you have no power against me, but the power was given, and he said, this is your power, your hour, and the power of darkness. And here he is put to death by Rome and by Jew. He's put to death. But in being put to death, his death destroyed him that had the power of death. Now, if the giant had come and slain David, then the battle would be lost. But David slew Goliath. But the contrast with Christ is that if the Lord Jesus had come down from the cross, if he had taken Peter's sword and beheaded all of those in the garden, then he would have been overcome. But he overcame by death. And for that reason, his victory is celebrated in heaven. And it is something that is so unpredictable, something that is unfathomable by man, that they say no victory has ever been won by death, and that is true. And no righteousness has ever been won by unrighteousness, but it has. Christ has made sin that we might become the righteousness of God, and Christ dies that we might have live, that we might have life and live. And Satan is overcome by permitting Satan and men to put Christ to death. But when they put Christ to death, that was the destruction of Satan and his works and all hope of evil ever reigning over the world. And this is what God is trying to tell us. And just this, think of these things that happened. It speaks about a strong man. The strong man is Satan. And then in Luke it says, a stronger than he. In Luke, he comes upon him. But in Matthew and Mark, it says, he enters into his house, and then it says, he despoils all his goods, his house. What does it mean? And I would suggest this. You may take as many of the details as you want to, because they are there. Here is the Lord Jesus combating Satan. And you remember that demoniac that was among the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones, and they tried to chain him. And nobody was able to chain him. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and spoke the word. And when he got through, the people looked at this demoniac, and the demoniac was seated and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And he said to Jesus, let me go with you. Now, what has happened? Here are Satan's soldiers, and here are Satan's demons that are possessing this man, and the stronger one comes upon him, and he despoils his house. And now he takes his armor wherein he trusted, all of his lies, his stratagems, his wiles, his devices. He takes them and he dispenses them to us. You say, well, how can we do with that? How can we use them? Why, I have used the lie of Satan in Genesis 3 many times. I see his strategies, and Christ has exposed Satan. I see now all the things that men say about Christ. Yes, he had power. But he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. I know all of these wiles of the devil, the way that he tempted Christ. And so Christ takes all of his armor wherein he trusted, and he divides it among us. He gives us the interpretation of truth and error. And it says in 1 John 4, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Paul exposes his wiles and his devices. And so all of this armor wherein Satan has trusted his whole life long, the Lord Jesus has taken it from him. And when he shows the world and the kingdoms of them, and he says, they're mine, and I'll give them to you, the Lord Jesus says to us, they're not his, they're mine. He said, if you do what I'll tell you, he said, I'll give them to you. Because the Lord Jesus has promised that we'll be over 5 cities and 10 cities, and everything that Satan promised, now the Lord Jesus says, it's going to be yours. And so everything that was under Satan's jurisdiction, it is now in Christ's hand, and Christ can promise them with truth, whereas Satan promised them to a degree as God would allow it, but now Christ says, they are yours. And this is why it's so beautiful that by the incarnation he came into his house, and then he binds Satan, because think of this. Have you ever seen Satan stand by passively when enemies were attacking his household, his works, and do nothing? Of course not. Why is he standing by passively? Because Christ bound him. And when the demons heard Christ speak, they feared Christ, and they fell at his feet and worshiped Christ. And they said, don't send us to the pit, to the abyss, before the time. Why? Because they knew that they were bound, and Satan could do nothing about it when the Lord Jesus Christ entered his domain. And when Christ came upon him, Satan could do nothing because he was bound. And that's what God wants us to know. And what is so beautiful now is this, that Christ himself had to bind him the first time. But it says in Revelation chapter 20, in a coming day, an ordinary angel isn't even given a special name. It says, an angel comes with a great chain, and he binds Satan, and he casts him into the bottomless pit, and he locks it over him. And now, the power that Christ had to bind him is now in the power of an ordinary angel. And so he is a strong man, stronger than any other, but now he's been bound, and he's been overcome, and he has been reduced to one that we can encounter, have an engagement with, and we can overcome him as well. And now the Bible can say, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Whereas before, the resisting would be suicidal. But now we can resist him, and we can overcome him the way that Christ did. The Lord Jesus rejoices to tell us these things, and he's speaking in parabolic form, and yet we look at it, and we see all that he's talking about. The incarnation, And then on the cross, the propitiation and all of these things that seemed doomed for Christ were in reality victories. And the Lord Jesus says this. He says, to him that overcometh I will give to sit with me in my throne, as I overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He's at God's right hand tonight because Christ overcame. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that we speak with strong words and with assurance, but we have no such speech unless we are speaking of Christ. We confess, Father, that we are finite creatures, weaklings, and Satan is the strongest of all your creations. And yet, Father, by the Spirit that is within us, we are his equal, we are his superior. We are thankful the way that thy Son overcame him, the few things that we've seen already about Christ, the victor. And so let us not be afraid. Let us remember that now the world is darkness. Let us remember that we are still in the domain of the prince of this world and the God of this world. He's been overcome, but the outcome awaits fulfillment in the future. But still, Father, with thy Son, who is the light of the world, we can pass through it successfully. And so help us to do that. Strengthen us with the strength that was Christ, and let us, as Christ was the overcomer, let us be overcomers as well. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.